You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And fellas, the next time we sit in this room together and do this, there will have been actual football played that we can talk about. That's pretty exciting.
Not as exciting as Ezekiel Elliott coming to terms with the Dallas Cowboys.
We're going to get there.
I got my Tony Dorsett shirt on today.
We're ready. We're going to get there.
I'm psyched. I got a few shares of Zeke out there, so a lot of people in Fantasyland celebrate.
Yeah, this is the. We will definitely talk about that. There's plenty of news to talk about, and of course, we will preview Week One, and just kind of some of the big points of Week One. Things that we have big questions about, games that could really go big for fantasy, games that might not be quite as big, and that sort of thing. Also, we'll do a quick recap of the final episode of Hard Knocks. Just kind of a big overview. And just kind of our grand thoughts on this season and maybe the future of the show as well. But before we do all that, as always, go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
You know, I'm just going to say, Fabs, you know, while the Cowboys are focused on getting Zeke out of Cabo and his money, the Giants are focused on football. And, you know, I'm just saying I'm very prepared. Oh, the team is prepared for this coming Sunday. That's all I want to say.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. I will say this, though.
It is funny, isn't it?
With the... I tweeted this yesterday, too. Like, Zeke already leads the league in air yards.
Ha.
Between nice. Going back and forth from Dallas to Cabo repeatedly.
How many times did he fly back? In theory, he probably got a ton of frequent flyer
like
miles, right?
I feel there are at least three different trips to Cabo, right?
And he's racking up on those frequent flyer miles.
Man, I'm telling you.
He came back in the airport. He had that nice, like, straw hat on.
Yeah.
He was totally vacation mode.
Which, by the way...
He's in great shape, though. He's in great shape. It's like, okay, yeah. All right.
I don't know if you guys saw the Dirk Nowitzki tweet.
Oh, it's great.
Which he tweeted something to the effect of, You know, I landed at the airport. I saw all these cameras, and I thought, man, I still got it. Then I then I realized they were all there for Zeke.
So
Dirk Crew's a very funny follow on Twitter as well. All right, we got plenty to talk about, so let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
Well, we already alluded to it, and by now you probably already know about it. Ezekiel Elliott is back in camp, I guess, well, back in the fold, I should say, with the Dallas Cowboys. He sets a record to become the highest paid running back with a $90 million deal. It's a 6-year extension, $90 million. $50 million of that is guaranteed. You know, I don't know the whole structure of it for our purposes. It doesn't really matter. What's important is that he is back. Mm-hmm. So, Fabs, everybody who kept the faith and who drafted Zeke early and who just kind of waited this thing out. I mean, I know we all expected him to be back, but I also know there were some nervous moments in the last few days or so. But everybody who was patient, you have been rewarded now, right?
Yeah, dude. No question about that. And I feel like this is what we were telling people the whole time.
Yep.
He was going to be back. Worst case scenario, maybe miss a game or two. Best case scenario is what we're looking at right now. I don't know that Zeke really needed training camp or preseason. He's not going to get a lot of work in preseason anyway. So fire him up as normal. And if you ended up getting him anywhere past the 4th overall pick, you got to be smiling right now.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was one of those situations where I felt like the consensus was the deal was always going to get done. It's just unfortunate that we had to watch the air quotes drama Jerry and Zeke unfold. But yeah, just super annoying. But obviously we're all glad to have Zeke back and we don't have to worry about it too much.
So what do you do with Tony Pollard now?
I mean, listen, if you have Zeke and Pollard's on your roster, depending on what's on the waiver wire, you may or may not keep him. And I'd hold him for a week or two, unless a hot free agent comes rolling, which is very likely.
Week one, it always happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think Zeke will probably play a slightly limited role week one, like 20 to 25 snaps. I think I saw was the kind of the report this morning. He might play a few more than that. But Tony Pollard is not going to have much weekly value.
Nope.
At all.
Yeah. He's a handcuff now at best.
Zeke is the hammer piece there.
Man, I feel like we should start like putting together a list, like an in memoriam of all the Ezekiel Elliott handcuffs that like get preseason. Like, you know, like it was Tony Pollard and Rod Smith and Alfred Morris. Just go to like, it's like the Oscars in memoriam segment they do. We should just do one of those for all the potential Ezekiel Elliott handcuffs. More running back news still in the NFC East. Jay Gruden says that the Washington offense will go through Darius Geis when we're talking about what happens on the ground here. Fabs, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess people were sort of worried maybe about what Adrian Peterson was going to do, but I feel like this one was sort of cut and dried from the beginning, that as long as Darius Geis is healthy, Adrian Peterson kind of showed up out of necessity last year.
Yeah.
Darius Geis seems like he's going to be the guy there.
Yeah, and which is something that, again, I think we can all agree on. We've agreed on it the entire preseason. I mean, the Redskins offense doesn't have a lot of great fantasy options, but Darius could be the best one out of the group. I talked with him yesterday. He says he feels great, and I believe he's ready to handle maybe not a featured backs load like Zeke is going to see or Saquon, but he's going to get enough carries to be productive, and I would confidently start him as a flex this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to run the football, Marcus. They have to run the football.
I have major concerns. And Marcus, I know you feel the same way. I have major concerns about guys this year. Trent Williams will not be there. This is going to be a bad team.
Although there's talk that he might be back sooner rather than later. I don't know how much stock we put into that.
Yeah.
You know, I know D'Angelo Hall, our new colleague here at NFL Network, is sort of saying he could be back within a couple of weeks, but I feel like we haven't heard anything from Trent Williams himself.
Yeah, Trent Williams has been pretty clear that he's not coming back, and he didn't show up to the Redskins facility today. I don't think Darius Geis the offense is going to run through Geis. I mean, Chris Thompson is going to be involved in those third down snaps, and we'll just see how it goes. But I'm kind of, I think Geis is a solid flex play this week.
Yeah, I just think he's going to get the majority of the looks out of that backfield, sure. Whether or not, obviously, right. CT is there and he's going to be utilized. As I mentioned, it's not going to be a true featured role situation, mm-hmm. but he's going to get enough work where I feel like he's going to surprise some people this season in terms of his usage in fantasy lineup.
And I do agree. I mean, I think he is the guy on that roster with the most fantasy upside. Yeah. You know, you're not going to find it at quarterback. You know, you're going to struggle to find it at wide receiver. I guess there's Jordan Reed if he can stay healthy and on the field. But Darius Geis is the guy that has sort of the highest ceiling there in Washington. Andy Reid talking about LeSean McCoy and how that backfield is going to break down. His comments, we shall see. Graham, is this Andy Reid just kind of being coy and sort of playing games, or are they really? Do you think they're really trying to figure out how this is going to work between him and Damian Williams?
I don't think even Andy Reid knows how the rotation will work right now. I think we should expect Damian Williams to be the starter. But again, like we talked about on Monday, like Andy Reid doesn't think LeSean McCoy is done, and that matters. So for me, I'm kind of expecting Dame to be the 1A to McCoy's 1B. I don't think McCoy will get probably more than like 15 touches week one. And I'm not putting him in any of my lineups and spots that I have him in, but I think this is him. The way the Chiefs use their running backs and the way the Rams use Todd Gurley are like the number one and two things I'm looking for in week one in terms of running back usage.
Has a player's value ever flung from one sort of end of the spectrum to another more quickly than Damian Williams? I liked Williams as a potential breakout candidate this season because of what we saw last year. Small sample size, I get it. Doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body, and Andy Reid almost always produce really strong numbers, going back to his time in Philadelphia. But now, one of those running backs who did produce strong numbers in Philadelphia with Andy Reid has kind of thrown a wrench into the whole mix, and now I'm at a point where I wouldn't be surprised if LeSean McCoy leads that team in fantasy points among running backs.
Yeah.
It's an odd dynamic.
It's weird. You know, it's funny, too, because you talk about people whose values have swung wildly throughout this offseason. You know, LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams, I think, fall into that category. Duke Johnson was another one who was sort of buried in Cleveland. Yeah. He gets to Houston, and he's kind of free now.
Well, right? Two things. It just kind of shows how fungible running backs are and how fragile they can be. I mean, literally one move can change their value cataclysmically. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this Chiefs backfield has the widest range of outcomes among like backfield trios. I mean, I could see both. If one of these two guys takes the job outright, they could both finish as, you know, one of the two could finish as an RB1, or both could finish outside the top 20 if it ends up being a true timeshare. It's just a frustrating situation, but I hope, for my purposes, Damian Williams takes the job.
Can I just applaud you on your use of the English language there?
Fungible.
Cataclysmic-y. I can't even say that word.
But both fungible.
Say it again, Scarrett. Come on.
Cataclysmically?
Yeah.
Woo. I got it.
Fungible and cataclysmic.
It's early here for that kind of language, but I mean, well done.
I will say this, that like I hadn't heard the word fungible. I mean, I knew the word fungible, but I hadn't heard it quite as much as I have in the last couple of days when people are talking about running back value.
Were you an English major or something in college?
No. Finance, actually.
But I feel that like fungible sense. Works in finance too, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it sort of works there.
I'm sorry. We were in the middle of the segment, and I just noticed your shirt. And I had to refrain
myself. Yeah, I didn't know what it was initially.
I had to refrain myself from busting out loud.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, for those of you who end up seeing some of the video clips of this, you will probably see it. But it's the RotoWear Never Forget T-shirt with the Buffalo Bills logo and Antonio Brown's hair and blonde mustache. Remembering the hour or so.
Your laptop was kind of covering it at first. Maybe it just wasn't in my eye line, but it's quite
good. Remembering the hour or so that Antonio Brown was a Buffalo Bill, which really was one of the greatest hours in football Twitter history.
I think that was the point where he blocked me on Twitter because I had really wrecked him on the air about going to Buffalo, and that was the end.
Man, so yeah. Other wide receiver news. This is the time when we start getting these unofficial depth charts coming out. A lot of times they are put out by teams' PR departments and not necessarily in strong consultation with the coaches themselves. But there are a couple of things that are sort of noteworthy about some of these early ones. One, Kenyon Drake listed as the starting running back on the Dolphins' unofficial week one depth chart. Dante Pettis listed as the number one receiver on the 49ers' unofficial week one depth chart. Does any of that surprise either of you guys right now?
Not in particular. I mean, I think we all kind of expected Pettis to be the number one, and I know we all kind of agree that Kyle Shanahan was just trying to motivate Pettis with all of his hyperbole this offseason.
Yep.
I still like Deebo Samuel and Marquise Goodwin as stashes, though. I mean, they get the Bucs week one, Bengals week two. It's kind of a good start for them. We'll kind of have to see how this rotation works out.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like Pettis in week one.
Yeah. I don't like any of the 49ers guys. I just think that this offense
Tevin
is super
Coleman. Tevin Coleman is to me the most attractive one. But, you know, odd stat I remember from last season was that the Buccaneers defense they got wrecked by slot receivers all year long. But guys who were split out wide did nothing against them. Honestly, I remember a couple of games where people had wideouts posted and projected to have great numbers against the Buccaneers, but unless it was a slot receiver, those wide receiver projections didn't really pan out.
MG Stewart, the Bucs slot corner, he was like literally one of the three or four worst cornerbacks in the NFL last year.
So, I sort of been torn. I've been going kind of round and round on 49ers receivers. I don't think I have a lot of them on any of my rosters. I know I think I took a couple of shots at Debo Samuel kind of late in draft season just because. But, I don't really know what to make of this.
Someone might pop here, man. I'm telling you, I think someone's going to pop here. They have to have a two besides Kittle.
I mean, you would think so, right? I know there was talk that Trent Taylor was a guy to kind of keep an eye on, but he's not 100% healthy right now. And I think Jalen Hurd's a little bit banged up right now as well.
Yeah, they're both banged up.
So, things are in flux there in San Francisco in that wide receiver core. So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Well, it is officially week one. We are, about 36 hours, maybe, from 36 hours from now, we will be well into the first game of the season.
Games that matter.
Games that actually matter. We will start off with the Packers in Chicago against the Bears, continuing the oldest rivalry in professional football. And that actually leads me to some of the big questions of the week. And the first one, and one that I have seen a lot in my Twitter mentions, and I'm sure you guys have seen as well, Aaron Rodgers against the Bears, right? It is sort of that unstoppable force against the immovable object, if you will, right? Everybody looks at Aaron Rodgers, and chances are if you drafted him, you took him fairly high relative to other quarterbacks there, and you believe he's your starter week in and week out, but he's going against a defense that last year was historically good and one that expects to be good again this year. Maybe not historically good, but still pretty darn good. They held Aaron Rodgers to less than 13.5 points the last time they met at the end of last season. And so it just sort of begs the question, Fabs, if you've got Aaron Rodgers on your roster, you are probably nervous. Are you bold enough? Are you brave enough to keep him in there against the Bears? Or do you maybe look somewhere on the waiver wire for a streamer this week?
So also keep in mind, in the game before against Chicago, he had 24 fantasy points in the game where he got a little bit banged up. I will say this. You guys can agree with me or disagree with me. Outside of Patrick Mahomes and maybe Deshaun Watson, must-start quarterbacks don't exist anymore. They don't. They absolutely do not exist anymore. I would start Jameis Winston this week over Aaron Rodgers. I would start Lamar Jackson over Aaron Rodgers. And people have that combination. The whole must-start quarterback thing, outside of Mahomes, maybe Watson, luck is gone. It doesn't exist. So you can play the matchups. Now, don't be stupid, okay? If you've got Aaron Rodgers and your backup quarterback is, say, Phillip Rivers, you're playing Aaron Rodgers. Matt Ryan this week is another great example. I hate his matchup. It's awful. So I have him 17th this week. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as the must-start quarterback for the most part. So don't be afraid to sit big-name guys, and you're going to see a lot more of that this season. But Rodgers will be in most lineups.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, it's Rodgers, I have to play him. It's not like that anymore.
Well, go ahead.
I think it just speaks to the replaceability of the position, right? I mean, if you took Aaron Rodgers in the 6th, 7th, 8th round of your draft, and you're seriously considering benching him in week one at home against the Bears. I mean, it just speaks to like what we talk about, Marcus, like just how replaceable quarterbacks are in these start one quarterback leagues.
Yep. Yeah. And like, you mentioned Matt Ryan at Minnesota, and that's another one that, that's a dilemma that I have in some leagues this week is what I want to do with Matt Ryan starting in week one. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes as generally being a guy week in and week out you can feel confident in, but he's got the Jaguars.
I know.
This week.
And the last time he played the Jags, he was bad.
Right.
It was his worst game.
That doesn't even seem to be a sure thing, which is really funny. We're talking about, three of the top five or six quarterbacks in fantasy football right now, and they're all staring down the barrel of really bad matchups this week. And so, while you may have drafted those guys with some confidence that they could be your number one every week, I don't think we necessarily thought far enough ahead to look at week one and be like, oh no, what am I going to do? But, I think that's a thing that we have to worry about. We sort of touched on this before. Graham mentioned a about his feelings about Shady McCoy. And, you know, obviously he also mentioned selfishly that he's hoping it's Damian Williams. But Fabs, I mean, if you are kind of making that distinction between LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams this week, are you maybe sitting it out this week just to see how this thing shakes out? Or are you willing to just dive in and plant your flag with one of these guys?
So here's the, I wouldn't be surprised if one of three scenarios happened, because like we've never been in a situation where we've had to guess which Andy Reid running back will be the featured back.
No.
Because it's always been McCoy or Westbrook or you know, Hunt, whatever, you know, whatever the scenario is. So I wouldn't be surprised if McCoy starts and Williams ends up splitting the workload. I wouldn't be surprised if Williams starts and McCoy gets burned. It's one of those things where we have to watch. Mm. But I would tell you this. He was a second or third round pick in drafts, Williams was, before the Chiefs added McCoy. So some people out there are going to have no choice but to start him. And even if he was going to be the guy this week, it's still not a great matchup on the road against the Jaguars. So I would temper my expectations. It's a bad spot. It's a bad spot if you have shares of Damian Williams, because he's never really been a featured back. We saw him succeed last year, small sample size. But now, as I mentioned earlier, McCoy's presence in that offense just absolutely throws confusion into which one of these two backs is going to be the leader. And maybe there won't be a leader. Yeah. This could be a 50-50 split.
I'll say I'll be shocked if Damian Williams gets like fewer than 12 touches in week one. And because he should be involved on the main back involved on passing downs, I'm sticking with him as a, you know, as a PPR play. And you mentioned it, most likely don't have another option.
Because right.
You took him in the second or third round if you drafted, you know, like 4 days ago.
For me, he's a flex starter, but you probably drafted him as a one or a two.
Right.
So. Yeah. It's amazing how quickly things change over a weekend sort of thing. Since we're talking a little bit about the Chiefs and that matchup against the Jaguars, Tyreek Hill, who I know a lot of us drafted as a number one wide receiver, he starts off and is likely going to be locked up against Jalen Ramsey in this first week. And, you know, it's very possible that Ramsey kind of shadows him all over the field. Does that change how either of you feel about Tyreek Hill? I feel like it's hard to sit him, but, you know, how do you think about it?
Yeah, that'll be super, super interesting, right? So Jalen Ramsey is typically a boundary cornerback, does not go into the slot, but there have been a few reports out that have said Ramsey's going to travel into the slot with Tyreek Hill, where Hill spins like, I mean, Hill's basically 50-50 boundary and the slot receiver. I absolutely think the Jags should allow Ramsey to follow Hill into the slot, but I mean, this is Tyreek Hill with Andy Reid, who constantly gets moved all over the place, and for me, I mean, you have to keep him in your lineup as a top 10
player. Yeah, last year, 7 targets, 4 catches, 61 yards.
It takes one play.
One play.
But that's right. Hill. He is not a player you're sitting. It's just,
yeah.
He's not a player you're sitting.
No player has, maybe Julio Jones, but no other receiver has weak tilting upside like Tyreek Hill does.
Does this bode well, though, for Travis Kelce? If he's staying, I mean, obviously, you know,
Jags were kind of sneaky bad against tight ends last year because their corners are so good. And I mean, obviously, they'll be without Telvin Smith this year too. Yeah, every week is a Travis Kelce week, though.
That's true. that's
Kelce had 100 yards against them last season.
That's pretty fair. Looking at some games that potentially could be the fantasy gold mine of the week, especially if you're looking maybe to stream some guys or if you just happen to have a lot of these guys on your roster. I listed three. I'm curious to get your thoughts, whether or not you agree, disagree, or if there's maybe a game somewhere that I'm missing. Arizona against Detroit, just because I think that Cardinals defense... Well, I don't think. I know that Cardinals defense is not going to be good this year, which means the Lions can score, which means, in theory, the Cardinals are going to have to keep moving the ball and pushing the ball to kind of to try and stay in the football game. Niners at Tampa Bay, because neither one of those defenses looks like they're going to be very good this year. And then Indy at the Chargers, both have pretty good defenses, but they also both have pretty good offenses. So I could see a lot of fantasy points being accumulated there. Any one of those three games jump out to you guys?
So Detroit's top players on the offensive side, not talking about Matthew Stafford, he's a 2 QB league guy, and that's about it, but Kerryon Johnson, this is a really good matchup for KJ. Last year the Cardinals gave up 5 yards a carry, over 25 fantasy points a game, the running backs, and then, you know, Kenny Golladay, you know, Patrick Peterson, he ain't there, so Golladay is another player that I feel like could end up putting up nice wide receiver 2 numbers this week for your fantasy.
So not only did the Cardinals not have Patrick Peterson, who's suspended for the first 6 games of the season, their number 2 cornerback, Robert Alford, broke his leg in the preseason. They're down to Tremaine Brock, Byron Murphy, and Chris Jones as their top three corners this week, and those guys have no chance against Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because I have kind of been on record that I like Galladay's talent. I didn't necessarily love his potential output, but this is a great start for him.
PFF is projecting him to be covered by Chris Jones, who's played, like, two games in the NFL.
It's an amazing spot for this offense.
As for that San Francisco-Tampa Bay game, like, I feel like this is an opportunity for us to sort of figure a little more out about Jimmy Garoppolo and this Niner offense as a whole. Like, I feel like we have sort of pinned down the running back situation, but as we talked about with Dante Pettis at the wide receiver spot, a lot of injuries there, and just this general questioning of who Jimmy Garoppolo is. Graham, I think this is our chance to kind of get a look against a bad defense and start to figure out maybe what we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. I love everything on both sides of this game. Both teams over the last couple of years have been one of the fastest playing offenses in the league, meaning they get in between. They've been top 10 in terms of pace in their seconds between snaps. So we're going to get a lot of play volume here. We've got two shaky defenses. And we've got the Bucs most likely throwing on 65 to 70% of their their pass plays. I mean, it's just a perfect week one setup for both sides to go off here. Like I said, I like everything in this game. It's really hard to find a bad avenue into this game.
Yeah, and Jameis, I have him ranked very highly this week. I have him 7th. Looking at last season's data, which is unfortunately what we have to look at when you're doing week one projections, this Niners defense, they gave up the most passing touchdowns, the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks on the road. So I think Jameis is going to thrive. Obviously, we're into Evans and Chris Godwin. The backfield, who the heck knows what's going to happen there? But O.J. Howard, and then when you're talking about the Niners, I mean, Garoppolo's, you know, he's a sneaky 2 QB league play. I like Coleman because Tampa Bay couldn't stop the run last season. I'm not sure. Obviously, Kittle is a must-start. I don't know about their wide receivers. I think that's something that we're going to have to keep tabs on in terms of the target share. As Graham mentioned, there's a few guys there banged up. So it should be a fun game. It should be a high-scoring game. And
Chris.
Good.
No, Chris Godwin. I was just going to say Chris Godwin has an amazing matchup against K-1 Williams out of the slot. I mean, it's one of the three best matchups to have this week.
Yeah. I'm watching, oddly enough, to see how they use Dari Ogunbowale. I've got him as like kind of a last-round pick on a couple of teams. And you know, I feel like a guy who is a passing down back on a potentially bad team that's going to throw the football, maybe there's an option.
Back to Godwin, the Niners gave up 15 touchdowns to slot receivers last season.
He's going to eat. He's going to eat.
I know. Spot. Dude, I have so many shares of Chris Godwin. If he is an absolute bust, I'm in trouble.
The Chris Godwin party.
I love him so much, though, man.
It potentially begins this week. Hopefully, the offensive line in Tampa is not as bad as it looked during the preseason. I know that the Niners' front seven isn't quite as good as what we saw with Cleveland, but, man, they just destroyed
the Bucs. Offensive line is not going to be good this year, but you mentioned the Niners' front seven is just not too scary.
It's not quite as scary. That Charger-Colt game, maybe not what we thought it was going to be a couple of weeks ago, and we thought maybe Andrew Luck was going to be playing, but
might have been fun.
There are still some noteworthy players on both sides. I mean, we know all about the Charger offense, even though they're going into the season, obviously, without Melvin Gordon. They've still got plenty of weapons there. The Colts have some talent at the skill position, guys. I'm sort of torn. I feel like this could go one way. It could go either way, right? There could be a whole lot of fantasy points. There could be not as many fantasy points. But it's one that I think if you have players on either side of this, I feel comfortable taking a chance on them this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Austin Eckler's in a fantastic spot at home, favored against the Colts. Colts front seven's very good, very talented. Didn't give up a ton of rushing production last year, but Eckler's going to be super involved in the passing game. It's great. I think this is a pretty good spot in general for the Chargers side.
Yeah. Hunter Henry's obviously a guy that we love. Keenan Allen back from the ankle injury. Eckler, that situation, I'm interested to see sort of how that shakes out. We all expect Eckler to be more of the guy than Justin Jackson. I'm interested to see how many touches Jackson actually gets out of that backfield. But Eckler, okay, I don't know if he's a must start, but he's a pretty damn good start this week. No question about that. On the flip side, all the question marks are in Indianapolis because Andrew Luck is retired and Jacoby Brissett is now the quarterback there. Like a guy like T.Y. Hilton. I mean, I'm afraid of Hilton because there's a good chance that he's going to be shadowed by Casey Hayward. And he's not catching passes from Andrew Luck anymore. It is Jacoby Brissett. And a couple of years ago, we did see T.Y. See a real decline in his reliability from a fantasy perspective. The tight end position, Who can you trust? Can you trust either one of Doyle or
is
Ebron?
It Doyle or Ebron?
Remember last season when Ebron and Doyle were both on the field, Ebron's targets were cut in half. And Doyle had a great rapport with Brissett two seasons ago. And then we're looking at Marlon Mack. I say he's a flex starter this week, right? Because the volume should be there, but game script could be an issue. A lot of questions that we have to find out about in that Colts offense.
That's a good point about Mack. That's one thing I'm super interested to see, like if the Colts get down this week,
is
Mack or is it Naheem Hines?
Right,
right. And I feel like that was a name that I don't think we talked about, but he did start to creep up in my mind a little bit when things changed, right? Like part of my waving the flag for Marlon Mack was that the Colts would be winning games and he would sort of be the closer there if it turns out that, you know, they are not the same team and they're not going to win, you know, 10 or 12 games this year. Then suddenly, if they're throwing the football, Naheem Hines comes back into play, sort of like it was last year. The fantasy wastelands of the week, the games that may not be quite so filled with fantasy production. I had three of them here. Baltimore against Miami, not so much that, you know, I expect, you know, look, Baltimore's offense is good. It's fine. They're playing against a bad defense, but they're also going to run the football a lot, which isn't necessarily conducive to putting up 30, 35 points a game. We know Miami's not going to be very good going against a good defense. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati against Seattle, the Bengals are sort of a black hole, really. I mean, if you believe in Joe Mixon or Tyler Boyd, maybe there's something there, but that Seattle defense got a lot better recently by adding Jadeveon Clowney. We'll see how many snaps he plays. And again, the Seahawks run the football a lot. They are going to be kind of a slower-paced team. Buffalo and the Jets. You got a good defense in the Bills against a Jets team that should be better this year, but I don't see them as necessarily a juggernaut coming right out of the gate here. How are you guys viewing either of these games? Is there any other one that looks like it's going to be kind of slow with fantasy production?
So Miami, I don't know that there's a player on that roster you can start with any kind of confidence. Kenyon Drake, that Baltimore's defense, I mean, if game script becomes sort of what we project, he may catch a few passes out of the backfield in the second half, and that could be his saving grace. But I think Lamar Jackson is a tremendous start this week. The Dolphins are a mess right now. Their defense allowed the most rushing yards to visiting quarterbacks a season ago. We know what Lamar Jackson likes to do. Mark Ingram is a great start this week. Dolphins can't stop the run. They didn't stop it last season. And again, that team is a disaster. That is a rebuilding team. The moves that they made signal a rebuild. And the Ravens' defense, now that the Dolphins' offensive line is worse without Laremy Tunsil and Ryan Fitzpatrick, we all know that there are times...
We know how that movie
where Fitzpatrick will throw the ball to the wrong team multiple times in a game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens' defense scored more points than any single Dolphins offensive skill position player. And I also have Mark Andrews on that tight end 1-2 borderline. Very interested to see what his snap count is and what his target share is.
This is just a perfect spot for both Jackson and Ingram. The Dolphins front seven outside of first round pick Christian Wilkins lacks some talent. They definitely lack a little bit of talent. You mentioned the Seahawks game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a get off spot for that defense.
Oh yeah.
The Bengals offensive line might be without their starting left tackle Cordy Glenn, who's in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting center couldn't earn a starting spot. Billy Price couldn't earn a starting spot on the front seven, or excuse me, their front five. Both Ziggy Ansah and Clowney are going to play week one. This is just a monster spot for Seahawks D. Carson. I absolutely love the Seahawks this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely on the field it's a win, and I just think that, you know, there will be guys who can produce there. This is not necessarily going to be just a bonanza of fantasy production, but you're right. Chris Carson, who... You want to talk about one of the biggest fantasy risers, biggest ADP risers in the offseason. This is going to be his chance to roll.
Babs, where do you have Carson in your ranks this week?
He is, and I'm going to look it up for you right now. I believe I have him right around 12 or 13. I have him 11.
Okay.
So he's end of the 12 team RB1 list.
I might have him in like the top 8 or 10.
Yeah.
This is just such a good spot for him.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, he's a must start. We've got you know who I love this week is Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
I've got Dalvin Cook in my top five this week.
Oh, yes. Yep. Falcons front seven has given up the most receptions to running back for like four straight seasons, three straight seasons.
And
crazy.
Fournette as well. Like, I have Fournette ranked highly as well. So Carson at 11, I think, is pretty strong.
Yeah. I love both those other guys you mentioned as well this week. I think they're going to be solid. Buffalo at the Jets. I have a feeling this will be the start of the Cole Beasley era in a lot of ways. I just see a lot of, you know, short or medium targets to him this week. I don't see this being a particularly high scoring game either way, but I think if you are a PPR fan, I'm also curious just to watch what happens with the Bills' backfield. I don't know that I would take a chance on either of the guys back there this week, but this is a game that I'm sort of watching. It's weird. I feel like we're treating week one now like preseason games, trying to figure out how a lot of things break down.
It sort of is, honestly. Like, two things to think about, though, with the Bills' running back rotation is, like, yes, Frank Gore is never going to die, but Devin Singletary is so much more talented at this point in his career than Gore. And, you know, how often is T.J. Yeldon going to play? I mean, if Devin Singletary is going to be playing on passing downs and third downs, then what is Yeldon's role going to be? I actually think that we are all expecting this kind of to be a three-man committee, but I could really see Devin Singletary taking a hold of this backfield pretty quickly because it's pretty destitute behind him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that there's just, you know, they have three guys, but it's not, neither one of them, at least right now, is one that you get super excited about, but why not go with a young guy?
Yeah, what do you think of Josh Allen this week? Can he continue?
Quarterback's loaded, man.
I know.
It's a good spot
for
sure.
He's a QB, too. You know, I mean,
there's just 15 or 16 other guys it's so deep. I would want to play over ahead of him.
I'm also curious whether or not teams or how much attention the Jets are going to pay to him running the ball. Now, it's like, do you keep a spy on him just to make sure he stays in the pocket and forcing him to throw the football? Last year when he ran and got all those yards, it caught a lot of people by surprise. This year, the word's sort of out.
Let's not forget, too, that this Jets defense is going to be pretty much improved this year, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not the same bad Jets defense targeting.
They added some good pieces.
Yeah, they've got some good players now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Streamers this week. Of course, quarterback, tight end, defense are the primary spots where people are streaming players this week. Any streamers, Fabs, that jump out to you with a quarterback position?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. Good matchup here against Atlanta. They give up more points to home quarterbacks last season than any other team in the entire league. Cousins has been drafted as a QB2 across the board, so I do like his matchup. It's so hard to like just label a dude streamer this season. Lamar Jackson, I don't consider him a streamer.
I don't know if he's a streamer or not.
I don't know that people drafted him to be their QB1 either. So he's someone that I would also have in my lineup. Jameis Winston, I don't know that he's a streamer, but people didn't draft him their QB1,
right?
So he is another player that I feel like needs to move up into your starting lineup.
We mentioned at the top of the show, Matt Stafford. If you don't have to, I mean, very rarely are you actually going to stream quarterback week one, but Stafford is just in the absolute nut situation against the Cardinals this week.
He just scares me, dude.
Yeah.
I get it, but this
feels like a week. It's hard to pinpoint your Matt Stafford weeks. This feels like a Matt Stafford
week. If Stafford does not go off this week, it's not going to bode well for his season-long projections at all.
Yeah, so Matt Stafford's kind of the one that I had really been focusing on for the last few days, just because against that Arizona defense, it feels like
they were sneaky tough at home against quarterbacks last season, but they also had Patrick Peterson. So
yeah,
there's a difference.
That has a lot to do with it.
He's kind of good.
Tight end. I feel like because tight end is so kind of wide open right now, maybe there are some streamers. I don't know, Graham, if you have some that you kind of kept an eye on this week.
Yeah, I only put up one in the waiver wire column this week, and it's Darren Waller. There's just not any good streamers right now. But Waller against the Broncos. Look, the Broncos have a very talented defense, but they're kind of quietly top six in PPR points per target allowed to tight ends last year. And after AB, the Raiders' target distribution is pretty much wide open.
If you want to get crazy, you can go Tyler Eifert. If you want to get crazy, right? I mean, no AJ Green, and GameScript could see them throwing the ball in the second half. You could go Eifert.
Seahawks. Andrews. Actually a pretty good call because the Seahawks have a pretty bad. I mean, like, they're not going to be that great against tight end coverage this year without Earl Thomas.
And Jordan Reed is also in concussion protocol. So if he's out, Vernon Davis, for those who are desperate.
I mean, look, I know the thing with Eifert.
You guys didn't seem excited about that one. Talking about streaming tight end.
No, you're right. No, and like, here's the thing. The thing about Eifert, right? The reason people stay away from Eifert is because of the injury situation, right? But he's not hurt now.
Yeah.
He's healthy now.
No,
so.
I like the Eifert call quite a bit, actually. I think I would play him over Waller, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, so he's healthy. He's available now. So, you know, your fears don't mean anything at the moment because we know when he's on the field, he gets targets and he's productive.
You know
so.
Who I'm excited about too is Delanie Walker. And he was a late round pick. A lot of people have that what have you done for me lately mentality. Listen, the dude's going to get a lot of targets, man. As long as he's on the field and he's 100% now, he is going to get a ton of targets in that offense, whether it's Mariota or Tannehill throwing him the football. Arthur Smith is the new OC there. He's been the tight ends coach there for a long, long time. He and Delanie Walker have a very good relationship. He's going to be a big part of that offense.
Any thoughts to Will Dissly in Seattle?
Yeah, I looked at that.
Deep bomb.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, DFS, like just dart throw.
Well, they cut Jacob Hollister, who every single preseason pops and then does nothing during the actual preseason games.
Right.
And then Ed Dixon's on IR. So Will Dissly, though, he's coming off that terrible knee injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's a concern. But, man, the Bengals were bad against tight ends last year.
The Seahawks don't really have a number two receiver. Weirdly, DK Metcalf is like, what, 10 days removed from having knee surgery, and he's supposed to play this
week? He's supposed to play this week.
What a freak.
I mean,
medical technology, my friend.
We'll
see. It's the advancements are ridiculous.
Or DK Metcalf is actually just part robot.
He really is an Avenger.
He could have adamantium in his
he very well could be an Avenger. Mm-hmm. Defensive streamers this week.
Oh, dude.
I know, like, you know, if the Cowboys are out there, I feel like they're sort of the number one.
Seahawks
are a good option for you if they're out there as well. There are some good
Broncos. What do you think about the Broncos, right? I mean, Derek Carr, he's got a lot to prove. Broncos could be a streamer. The Jets and the Bills both could be streamers.
You could stream them against each other.
You know who's super, super sneaky this week? If the Seahawks and Cowboys are gone, is the Browns at home.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Titans.
But that's
is that a streamer, though? I think a lot of people drafted that.
You think so?
Oh, I drafted them to be my...
Okay.
I always thought that they were kind of they were a sneaky defensive draft pick for me as well. But I think if they're out there...
Yeah.
If they're out there...
Go get them.
Yeah, I know. I just put them up in my column because I noticed they were like under 20% owned on our
is that right
site? I think something like that.
Wow,
58.4% owned. So they're still available.
Still available.
That's insane to me.
Yeah,
especially with the matchup. Mm-hmm. Home game against the Titans.
Yeah, that if they're out there, man, go get the Browns, man. Go get that Browns defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are some of our streamers there. I don't know if there's any other guys that you guys really love this week that you want to kind of promote or anything like that, but I felt like, you know, that's a pretty good start for week one. Now, to the questions, because, you know, I know that you guys all have questions out there. I put out the call through the NFL fantasy handle, so I got a handful of tweets here that we can go through, and you guys can give your thoughts. Some guys that we sort of mentioned at the top of this segment here, Fantasy for Life asking, who to start, Matt Ryan against the Vikings or Kyler Murray against Detroit? I mean, Fabs, I see you sort of squirming already because I know.
I mean, typically it's going to be Matt Ryan, but the Vikings defense is just...
It's very good.
It's a very formidable unit, especially on their home turf. I'm going Kyler Murray.
All right. Okay, so Graham, Kyler Murray or Jameis Winston in week one?
Yeah. I actually think I might have this call in a league. Damn.
I've got Jameis so much higher than Kyler this week.
I don't know. I think it's Jameis too, just because of the matchup and how many attempts I think he's going to have this week. But yeah, I think it's Jameis.
All right.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson or Alshon Jeffrey in a half point PPR?
Alshon. Come on, man.
That's what I think Redskins, too. Against Washington,
they could hammer the Redskins.
I don't. Alshon just like I can never trust him. I get the matchup. I can never trust him. But the thing is, I can never trust Allen Robinson either.
I'm laughing because I feel like that was sort of the preseason consensus on Alshon. Like that's a name that just didn't get a whole lot of talk, good, bad, or indifferent. Because people were kind of like, he's Alshon. He's not bad. He's not.
Alshon has the better matchup, and he has Carson Wentz.
Better quarterback, better matchup. Yeah. All right, I can go with that. Yeah. So half-point PPR, Alshon Jeffrey there. We mentioned the Chiefs' backfield. So Daniel Rosen asking, should he flex Damian Williams or Duke Johnson?
Duke Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Duke, for sure.
Duke.
Mm-hmm. Duke could play like, I think people will be surprised when they see Duke play like 75.
Just the volume alone, dude.
Yeah,
I mean.
I don't think he's going to leave the field very often.
I did look. The Saints were really tough on pass-catching running backs on their home field last season. Mm-hmm. But this is not so much about the matchup because this could be a high-scoring game. And it's all about volume, dude. I mean, just opportunities.
You want, even if the matchup is bad, you want avenues into high-scoring games.
Yes.
Dukie is that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think what we'll see this year is a reminder of what Duke Johnson was. Like, I loved him coming out of the U, right? And he just ended up in a bad situation. And I think hopefully this year will be the reminder of what he was and what he could be.
Yeah. My initial rankings, I have him 18th, you know, in that Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, sort of Austin Eckler area.
All right.
So he's in your lineup this week.
Okay. Isaac, wanting to know, and this seems more like a flex, like a weird, not a weird flex, but like a I'm bragging, a humble brag about his lineup than anything else. Looking for his RB2 in a PPR league.
Okay.
His options are Mark Ingram, Devontae Freeman, or David Montgomery.
Really, dude?
That's a humble brag, right? Like, these are your options at RB2?
So here's what's funny about that. I have Ingram at 15, Freeman at 16, and Montgomery at 17. So, I don't know, get a dartboard, start throwing darts. I mean, Ingram for me, but I mean, dude, they're all three very good options.
Yeah, Ingram probably just because the two touchdown upside in that game. I think he's seriously going to go off. But yeah, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah. So that also makes me wonder who his RB1 is, right? It's going to be like, you know, one of these Zeke.
Maybe he's in
Zeke, Saquon, Kamara, CMC.
Sometimes I feel like people just love to tweet their
absolutely.
Because they want to show you how loaded their roster is.
They just want to, like,
look how good I am at drafting fantasy.
Quietly mention, you know, how good their roster
is. Uh-huh.
Another Devontae Freeman question. RB2, Devontae Freeman against the Vikings or Austin Eckler against the Colts? I think I'd tend to lean toward Freeman there.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would too.
Freeman's, there's a lot of good running back plays this week. Freeman's a top 10 guy.
I have a feeling that Devontae Freeman's going to catch a lot of balls this week because they want to just slow down that Minnesota pass rush a little bit. And so I think that means a lot of screens, a lot of dump offs to Devontae Freeman just to, you know, try to give Matt Ryan a little bit more time to keep him upright a little bit. Tomer wanting to know, in a two quarterback league, he's already starting Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to know, does he go Mitch Trubisky or Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
Trubisky against the Packers, like, Roethlisberger against the Patriots.
I know. I guess I'm going Roethlisberger. I'm just not a big fan of Trubisky. Mm. I'm just not a fan. I would go Big Ben there. I don't love it, though.
Trubisky,
I do not love it.
Yeah, Trubisky has a huge, huge range of outcomes.
I know.
Literally every single game.
Also, keep in mind, too, right, last season when he had the big games,
yeah,
he ran for, you know, 30, 40 yards, got into the end zone, and I almost feel like Trubisky needs that to have a big week. He needs to be able to have some success the ground.
I might lean, if it's Big Ben versus Trubisky, I might lean Trubisky because I think the Patriots and Bill Belichick know that they're not going to let Juju Smith-Schuster beat them. Mm-hmm. Steelers are on the road. Tough road spot week one. I think I'd lean Trubisky.
All right.
Great about that.
Last one. A couple of Bay Area running backs. A flex option in a PPR league for Adam. He wants to know, Josh Jacobs or Tevin Coleman?
Jacobs.
Yep.
But I do like Coleman.
Yep, Jacobs.
All right. All right. Cool. So those are a handful of questions. You know, you can always tweet us at NFL Fantasy, or you can tweet any of us individually. I guess you could send it to the NFL podcast handle, but there are a whole lot of podcasts here, and so you may not get the answer you're looking for from the person you're looking for. So, you know. Be warned. Last episode of Hard Knocks for this season aired on Tuesday night, and just a couple of quick takeaways as we kind of wrap this thing up. First off, Josh Jacobs is real. He actually showed up. They fawned him and everything. I think he mumbled some words even. So he's a real person. It took 5 episodes for us to confirm that, but Josh Jacobs does exist. So hallelujah for everybody who drafted him. Now you know that he is a real corporeal entity and can actually carry the football. Just about all the guys that they profiled this season kind of got cut, right? They talked about Luke Wilson. He got cut.
Keelan Doss.
He got cut. Jason Kabinda. He got cut. Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, not the wide receiver, got cut. This kind of stunk in that respect. Like, usually you get guys to root for, and, like, one of them makes the team, but not this year. But the biggest question for me, because the one thing we talked about was that it seemed like the Raiders sort of had a lot of creative control over this show.
Yes.
I was kind of expecting to see executive producer Mike Mayock at the end in the credits. It makes me wonder whether or not we've sort of seen the last of Hard Knocks as we know. Because if other teams watch this, right? And so you know that whoever gets picked next year is going to kind of want it to be the same way. They're not going to let people, like, we didn't see any of the one-on-one meetings when they were cutting guys. The only one we saw, I think, was the Jason Kabinda meeting. But normally they take you in the room, and the coaches talk to the players and kind of telling them I know it's a tough decision. I'm sorry about this. We got to cut you. We didn't see any of that. And I just wonder whether or not this is going to be kind of the norm and whether or not the inside look in teams that we got for Hard Knocks is kind of done.
Yeah, I think we just got so much access to the Browns last year. I wonder if that's, like, maybe just heavily weighted in our minds. But maybe. Yeah, it also, I mean, it honestly never made sense to me. Like, I kind of always felt bad. Like, that's one of a player's worst moment in their lives, getting cut and having this dream, especially the guys that are like UDFAs. It's one of those things that, like, it's captivating TV, but at the same time, it's always hard to watch.
Right. It is. It is a low moment personally and professionally for these guys, and we were always kind of taken behind the scenes. So, I don't know. I mean, overall, it was not the season that I thought it was going to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
It's just flatlined. Yeah. It's just a flatlined
I didn't even watch last night. I had a million other things going on, work-related, but I just felt like the Raiders should have been on Hard Knocks the season that they went to Las Vegas. I think
maybe
that would have been although, a little bit more intriguing.
I would think that the league would kind of give them would have given them a pass just because of the move and the chaos there. Although they finally mentioned Las Vegas at the very end of this last episode. They finally mentioned that, oh, by the way, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas next year.
As a footnote.
It was like a footnote sort of thing. I'm like, that's kind of a big story. But,
yeah, it is.
I don't know. Anyway, so we made it through another season of Hard Knocks. I'm sure, you know, 8-9 months from now, we'll be eagerly anticipating who the team next year is going to be. We'll see. Whatever. Anyway.
Whatever.
That's it. We are done. We have finally made it all the way through this slog. Like I said at the top, the next time we talk to you, there will have been real meaningful football played. It is exciting to know. So we appreciate you always downloading and listening. And you know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you're feeling bad, at least you're not the reason they put directions on shampoo. Good luck in week one. We'll see you on Monday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.